Welcome back to Coach's Corner and the Ramble. It's the first time we're saying the title out loud with Slim Shady and myself, Coach Craven. We've got him back from vacation. His priorities are back in order where they should be. None of this kiting around with his girlfriend and all of that stuff. Here's my co-host. How was your time off, man? Did you have a good time?
Oh, yeah, I had a great time. You know, I'm British, so there was heavy drinking involved, as you'd imagine.
Naturally.
Some nice food, nice company, met some new people. They managed to not annoy me, which is quite a rare thing. I'm kidding.
Did the girlfriend listen to this show?
She would have been dead listening to this. She would be caught dead listening to this show, man. I feel like she'd just be embarrassed by hearing me. It's like, well, you do a show about a league where the video game plays. Yeah, this is how I spend my Tuesdays.
Yeah, Doug's wife has some similar comments.
Well, I mean, to be fair, though, last Tuesday, there was something missing, you know?
Yeah.
Something missing. I was just sat there thinking, what would I normally be doing now? And then realized that normally I would be rambling on.
We'd be chatting across the pond.
Yeah, and you know, that was the worst thing about being on holiday or vacation, as you guys call it. Mm-hmm. Just not being able to ramble, you know what I mean? You know, like, yeah, you can ramble about the weather, people can talk about the weather till the cows come home, but you know, sometimes you just need a bit of SFL chat each week.
Yep, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I put something together with Ross and Mike Twin's crew.
I know, I saw as soon as the cat's away, eh?
Yeah, well, it was totally spur of the moment because I was sitting there, like you said, I was sitting there kind of, doesn't feel right. Hey, anyone want to do a quick show and chat about stuff? So we did.
Yeah, make your excuses. Bet you couldn't wait to get them in.
Because,
you know, I mean, I'm going to say now, you know, there's a massive feud between myself and Ross Napoli. Yeah, that's newsflash, everyone.
Yeah,
me and Ross hate each other.
Little Salt Lake City infighting over there.
Oh yeah, like we're both in a power struggle. Who was in control of the rustlers? who can take credit for the impending victory?
There we go. The coaches have nothing to do with it, of course.
Can I just say, by the way, that I'm going to apologize to Stefan Forge, who sent me an article whilst I was away.
Oh.
And now it's out of date, so I wasn't able to publish it. And he's just literally the second sent me a message, and it's rekindled the sorry feelings I have. So live on air, Stefan, I will apologize right now, and it will never happen again. I will never take another holiday as long as I live, because I feel so guilty for not publishing such a good article. Maybe we could rehash it under a new name or something and get it out there.
People there to enjoy. From the archives or something. I don't know. Yeah, it's funny. The thing that Mike and Ross and I did is already a little outdated, and I dropped it earlier today. But, oh, well.
Yeah, people still enjoy it. They still listen. They still enjoy it.
There's a little bit of fun to be had. So are you caught up with the – let's start with the minors. Are you caught up? You're pretty much caught up there?
Mm-hmm. I can't say that I watched, every game into its full extent. I mean, especially because obviously Salt Lake weren't featuring this week. It was our bye week. We finally got a bye.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Which, I just burped.
it's a friendly show.
Yeah. Better out than in. So it's probably a good thing we've got to buy because we've got to play Albuquerque next.
Oh, yeah.
In the Athens territory, the team that remain undefeated after I think it was quite close against Memphis, if I remember seeing the score correctly.
Yeah, it was a barn burner. It seemed like I was kind of watching it while I was at work, and I can say that because nobody at work listened to this show either. I was kind of watching it while I was at work, but I had to work occasionally. It seemed like every time I looked at the screen, somebody was scoring in that game. And
It's about time someone took it to Albuquerque, to be honest.
Yeah, well, too
easy.
We gave them a battle the first week of the season, but we didn't yet know if we were going to be any good. You know, first week.
Week one's always a bit.
Yeah, you're always kind of, you don't know what you got. And so they've just been on such a roll since then that to see somebody battle with them, I think that's a good thing. You know, I like going into the playoffs with at least feeling like there's a chance for people. So.
Well, I think I forgot what I was going to say. I think Albuquerque are definitely the favorites, obviously.
They have to be, right? Yeah.
The worst thing, the hard thing for Salt Lake at the minute is that if we lose on the road against Albuquerque, which based on their season is entirely possible. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've got a great team in Salt Lake, you know, with 5-2, but Albuquerque seems like a different kettle of fish to everyone else. Is the fact that we could still miss the playoffs if we lose.
Oh, yeah.
After such a great season, because other teams have almost roared back into the frame, including San Jose, then depending on other results, we could miss out, which is kind of the opposite to last season. Last season, Salt Lake, we were out of it. And then basically we had like a 6% chance on the last week of making the playoffs. Right. And everything fell into place that we needed to make the playoffs, which was insane. It's almost like the other way around this time. But I think Ottawa got one over on Birmingham in kind of the basement battle. As far as I know, that was a low score. I can't remember the exact score. And then did Madison beat Lexington, didn't they?
I believe so, yes.
Lexington is interesting because they started so hot. They started really, really brightly. And people were tipping them as, I think one of the early front runners, but they've just fallen off a cliff. I don't know what it is, whether it's because they're a brand new team and, things just haven't quite been going as well as they did at the start. There's been a struggle to adapt to where the teams have just got used to the way they play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just seems like Lexington have kind of fallen down a bit of a hole.
They have struggled, and it feels like they've also had the worst possible luck as well. I mean, with the little bit that I've watched, I haven't watched all their game, but I've watched a fair bit of them, and it just seems like right at that moment when they need something to go right, it goes horribly wrong. And
because I mean, they know how to score. If you look at the results, they know how to score points. And they've kept most games close. They got beat quite handily by Tacoma, but other than that, they've kept most games close. They just And obviously, after that week one 25-0 beat down of Birmingham,
mm-hmm.
I think maybe that was a bit of a false dawn though, because obviously Birmingham, nobody knew at that point they were going to struggle so much this season.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. They're coming off of the run at the championship game, but I think I think that's one of the things about the minors that I feel like we should have noticed, we should have thought about, but we didn't. And when I say I'm mainly talking about me. Birmingham lost. Well, I mean, Birmingham lost their quarterback, their wide receiver, and it's hard. Like we said before, it is really hard. Mike Twinscrew and I talk about this quite a bit on the second part of that show. It's hard with people when they haven't progressed very much. There are things you simply cannot do.
Yes.
And Birmingham has been seriously handicapped by that.
Yeah. And if you look at those two playmakers alone, Christian Brown and Riley Quintero, I mean, look at how the waves they made in the SFL. Quintero helped Denver massively get down the stretch with that. I mean, especially with that kick return in the close game against Arizona. And then Christian Brown.
Oh.
was in the running for Offensive Rookie of the Year. So,
yep, played very well.
Played well. Got St. Louis to the playoffs in a tight division. So, you know, two huge losses that they just haven't. I mean, the quarterback situation's been a bit up in the air.
Yep, they had to replace him partway through.
They had to replace. They replaced him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bryce Hardaway found things a bit too hard and then went away. That was such a bad joke. And yeah, I think it's just one of those things. You need a season to recover sometimes.
Yeah.
You just need a season. And those players that, if they keep some of those players that are lower value, that may be a step behind in the draft and don't maybe go undrafted, then they'll be all the better for it next season.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. That to me going forward, that's always going to have to be a part of the analysis of teams in the minors. It's almost that retention question in a way, although you're not trying to retain them in the minors. You know, as a GM, you know that player retention is so big
for
developing your team. Same is true here, although oddly you're working against it. You want to have as many people drafted as possible.
So. I think there's a special almost place in my heart for those two-season SFLM players because they've stuck it out. They've gone for the long game.
Yes.
Considering it's not just like they had one SFLM season and then there was another SFLM season. There was an entire, you know, 16-week SFL season in between that they had to sit and watch as people who got drafted ahead of them played in the SFL, which is obviously what the overall goal is. So, yeah, there's something about those two-season players that you just think, you know what, that they wouldn't throw away an opportunity in the SFL. I think it makes them entirely more draftable, just from a personal standpoint rather than even the value that they accrue.
Oh, yeah. No, I understand what you're saying. Of course, yeah, their player value is going to be fantastic. Topic we brought up many times. But, yeah, if they have the stick-to-itiveness, as my mom used to say, to stick around for that long. I mean, I'm going crazy with the I want to get my signing announced. I want to get in the locker room with the team. I want to get it freaking done. And that's only been what, how many weeks have we had?
Some of the Vegas free agents that will be announced shortly, they're getting a bit twitchy now. They just want to get in the locker room, get the badge on, get a new identity almost in a new team, you know. Get that excitement, that buzz that you get when you're in a new place. There's one game you haven't mentioned yet, which is the Tacoma Grizzlies, who defeated San Jose, right?
Yeah, they did.
Tacoma, they've been on fire. They've done an opposite of Lexington.
Mm-hmm.
They've almost kind of, you know, they flipped the script, and they had a tough season last season, which was their first. And then this season, I mean, they look like dead set.
Yeah, the way they're rolling.
To make the playoffs.
Their running back's very good. I think he's at gold. I think he's at gold level right now. And he's really good. He went yard on us on a play. Overall, we didn't do that bad against him, but he had a long one on their first touchdown, and he finished with a good chunk of yards. I say that bad, it's all relative. That is a team, when you look at them, you think, okay, that could be a dark horse sneak up on you type of team. Because like you say, the trend is up with them.
To be honest, if I was Albuquerque, that's the team I would not want to play in the semifinals.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's that, I think, out of all the teams, including Salt Lake, Tacoma have, at the minute, they've got the best chance probably of knocking them off, I think.
Yeah, they've got a good roster, and they're doing a good job.
I mean, you're going about that first week. Week one, Tacoma lost at home 41-3 to Memphis.
And now
look at them. You know, it's just they played Birmingham in week two, which I think was probably the perfect confidence boost, the perfect kind of time to just settle things down. But yeah, SFLM's looking exciting towards the end of the season. It's exciting. It's getting better and better each season, I think.
Yes, I agree. And Mike and I talked about that a little bit. The coaching has gotten better, and the progression has been so important. The first season, as much fun as it was, and I've said this more than once, there are times I was just banging my head on the wall trying to get the offense to, you know, you get a guy wide open, it'd doink off his hands because he wasn't progressing.
Yeah.
You know, remember how it worked. I'm sure you remember how it worked. You had things like that that was just, it was just brutal. And to have these guys, frankly, have these fantastic builds, you're seeing things in the minors that you didn't see before. Even last season, because you had some guys coming in second season last season. Now you've got, like, you know.
There's something about when players are at kind of, you know, lower values and making mistakes that, you know, players in the SFL don't make. It's, as a neutral observer, it's fun to watch. It is fun to watch the chaotic nature of the SFLM. It's very much. And when someone, it's like when a running back makes a big run or slips through the tackles and you're not expecting it, it's almost like it's more exciting in a way, because, you know, when McChesney gets the ball, you know he's going to run over about five people.
Inevitable, isn't it? Yeah.
Whereas when, like, you know, Memphis's second string running back somehow spins a guy and makes 20 yards, you're thinking, come on! You just sort of, you can do it!
Yeah. Or a receiver you've heard nothing from all season.
Yeah, you know,
makes an incredible
suddenly makes a Hail Mary catch or something, which has happened a couple of times I've seen in the SFL.
San Jose won one off of a Hail Mary.
Yeah.
Doug Spelling. Hashtag draft Doug Spelling.
Yeah, the Hail Mary King. If we think about kind of trends and if we think about players paving the way. Did you know that a wide receiver last season caught a Hail Mary to tie and then eventually win the game and then got drafted? Do you know which wide receiver that was?
Well, it sounds like Riley.
Yeah, it was Riley Quintero for Birmingham against Salt Lake City. And look at what he did. I'm wondering if I was a betting man, which I am not, after failing in a survivor pool twice now. Thanks to Charleston both times. Thank you, Charleston. Enough of that deep hurt. If I was a betting man, then I'd be thinking, I'm wondering if Doug Spelling gets drafted, gets to the playoffs, maybe gets a kick return touchdown that sends his team through in the last minute. Just saying, if the fate is there, if kind of we believe in fate in that way, maybe that's Doug Spelling's fate.
You heard it here first, people. I can tell you that Doug is pretty active in the locker room. I don't know how much he's chatting with people, but I could see him being a guy like Riley, who doesn't get picked up early.
Yeah.
And again, we'd have to look at the signings and stuff. I feel like in the past I've had a better handle on what teams were going to need. I know the information's out there. I don't know what teams are even looking for at this point. I know what some of them are looking for.
Yeah.
It's
an odd thing that, you know, like the more picks you have as a GM, the more you are in tune with what other teams want.
Mm.
Whereas, and it's never clear until the signings come rolling in anyway, but in Vegas, we basically need one or two players.
Mm-hmm.
So in reality, as long as we know the teams that need a quarterback, for instance,
mm-hmm.
There's no point denying that that's a need.
Yeah.
As long as we know the teams they're going to pick a quarterback, it doesn't really matter about what all the other needs of every other team are to a GM in Vegas, because
mm-hmm.
you know the only kind of players that are going to go off the board that affect us are quarterbacks. So. It seems like the less players you need going into the draft, it kind of makes you a bit more ignorant to what everyone else needs.
Yeah, I can see that.
That's me as a GM, as kind of a writer and a content creator. I should probably know more than I do. that's poor by me.
Put together a staff, have them give you a report.
Don't expect any accurate mock drafts from my end. Anyway, I think Mike Twinstrew is probably the best one for that. But
yeah, well, and we did talk about it a little bit. He and I talked about it a little bit. He had some things lined up, but he much the same. He said, "I don't want to do. I'm tired of doing these. I want to do a mock draft, but I can't do it until I see what everybody's got." You know, so.
Oh, I mean, you could have a really, really early one, but obviously, you know,
yeah,
it's going to be a bit lacking in credibility when no one's really signed anyone yet, and free agents aren't announced yet, stuff like that. So
sure. Well, and there's some free agents out there. Are they going to get signed? Are they going to disappear? Who knows? Who needs draft or otherwise? Who needs a quarterback that's ahead of you in the draft? Louisiana needs one. Who else?
Portland.
Oh, right.
Portland, London.
Right.
Denver need one, but they're obviously going to be behind us. Mm-hmm. Unless they trade up, because they've got potentially the amount of picks to trade up. Louisiana do. I'm trying to think. I think... Jacksonville. I'm pretty sure they would be. Did they go out in the first round of the playoffs?
Yeah, they lost to us.
Lost to Lone Stars. Yeah, so they would be ahead of us.
Okay.
In the draft, because we got through to the second round.
Okay.
Just remind everyone how well Vegas did. So yeah, quite a few teams basically.
Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? Because we were like, oh, all these quarterbacks, and frankly, there's two. Now we know some of those teams are going to sign free agents.
Well, I mean, if you look at the free agents on offer, you've got Marcus Dunhill, who's definitely going to fill a spot.
Yep.
You've got Johnny, is definitely going to fill a spot. Mm-hmm. If somebody decides they want to resurrect Matt South's career, then he'll fill a spot.
Yeah.
I severely doubt E.T. King will. Houston need one. But Ken says, I imagine, will come back and reprise his role.
That was the plan anyway, yeah.
Yeah. After E.T. only reigned for a year over in Houston.
Yeah, interesting.
Just a little King joke there. I feel like I have to clarify all these.
Yeah, you're kind of full of the obscure jokes tonight, aren't you?
I remember on the Axis show doing an entire game recap. I think was it Arizona and Houston? And I just used pun after pun after pun. And I feel like no one understood it. So it was just a waste of effort. So now I feel like if I explain it, at least people will understand it, whether they find it interesting or funny or not. You know, at least people will appreciate that the effort was made.
Yes, they should anyway. I don't know about that Axis crowd. They just party all the time and
it's too busy partying. Yeah, they're not. They're so busy partying, they're unaware of nuance.
Yeah.
That sounds really offensive. I'm not trying to be offensive. I don't want to start any feuds between the Ramble and Axis Live, because I imagine we're a bit too laid back for that kind of thing.
Probably.
We don't want to start any feuds.
No.
Could you imagine if a bit of a feud between the two shows? A bit of a rivalry.
We'd have to be like posting our shows on top of each other to try and block them.
Yeah.
Or something. That'd just be rude.
Yeah, because Dave wouldn't be that childish, would he?
We could do that. Let's do that. We're going to do that. I'm going to post mine. This is going to get posted. No, I'm not. I'm not going to do that, Dave. I'm kidding.
What you should do is post yours, then let Dave post his, and then post your exact same show directly underneath it. So it's like a Craven sandwich. Anyway, where were we?
You know, we were starting a feud and we got sidetracked. We were talking about quarterbacks and who, you know, mm-hmm. you're looking at your draft needs.
Yes. So
remind me, what's your other need? You said two people in the draft?
So it'll either be, it depends where we want to go. It's kind of a flexible one, really. And it depends how free, there's a couple of things. It depends how many free agents we sign.
Gotcha. I could be asking you to give something away, couldn't I? We don't want that.
And it's, and it also depends how, whether we, I mean, if we look on paper, we potentially need a kicker. We potentially need a defensive end. We potentially need it, maybe if we wanted to change to running a fullback this season. So, you know, we need a QB, and I am very happy in saying that we are not going to sign a free agent quarterback.
Okay.
You can declare that, can't you? I can declare officially that we are not going to sign a free agent quarterback.
I don't see why not.
Does that void me not signing someone? does that mean I have to sign someone now?
You just
that works the other way.
You just voided E.T. King to another team or something. Yeah, I'm not sure how that works.
He might have voided himself. So where was I going with that? Quarterback is obviously the dead set need, and then the other one's very flexible. Yeah, so we're in a good position, really. Probably in the healthiest position that in terms of roster that we've been ever since I've been at Vegas. So, all things are pointed upwards.
It's funny you mentioned, because it's funny how it works out, because you didn't expect to be drafting another quarterback.
No,
didn't want Jess to move on, I'm sure.
But it
just goes to, it speaks to the rest of the foundation you have in place that it's like, okay, these two big things happen, we're going to be all right. So that's
it's like with anything, when you get given adversity, a lot of the time it's how you react to it that kind of that affects the end result. The adversity is there. I mean, it'd be great if there was no adversity, but I mean, where would we be in life if there wasn't any adversity as we go through it, you know?
Yeah.
You know, if you were a GM who just had it easy every offseason, then can you really call yourself a really good GM? I'm not sure.
It'd probably get boring.
Yeah. You know, the way we reacted was we'd already been proactive with a couple of free agents anyway. Getting Dustin was a big get for us, in my opinion. Zek. Someone who
that's right.
Obviously we got is a staff position as defensive coordinator. Getting him in, someone who really wanted to be at Vegas, seemingly would, I don't know, sell his own mother to have been here. That's not a quote, by the way. So, you know, nobody go and have a go at Dusty for being so disrespectful to his mother. You get adversity put in front of you, and it's all about the building the ladder that you have to climb to get over it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we've pretty much, we're on that top rung now. We just need to find that final couple of pieces to get over the top.
Yeah. Hey, heck of a season last season. Like I said, you're in a position to deal with the changes, and I see no reason for you to not kind of pick it right back up.
I think confidence is high. Yeah. Confidence is definitely high. I would talk to you about your team, but obviously you haven't got one right now. And I feel like we've talked about where you might be going enough times without you, you know, ruining everything for yourself. So I don't want to go. We won't go down that road. It's a scary one.
Yeah, we'll leave it be. Hopefully, it'll be happening soon enough. It'll be out. Cat will be out of the bag. I think a few people know. So, you know, I think some detectives have figured it out.
You're a coach, or do they?
Touché.
Yeah, or do they? You are deceptive.
There we go. I've been telling everyone we're signing with San Francisco, going to the San Francisco Sharks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know. Bringing that franchise back from the dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, San Francisco kind of Well, no, it didn't used to be Vegas. I guess we've got Vegas have got big connections with San Francisco with Max Jackson, but
oh, really? That's before my time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Basically, Matt John Bond is in Max Jackson and Merrick Arteta, Tony. They were with San Francisco, and because of what Max did with San Francisco in his first couple of seasons, he was able to get the Vegas team.
Okay.
So that team kind of catapulted him to ownership. But nice. one instance where having an absent owner and having to do stuff yourself is a positive thing in a way. Because it gives you an opportunity to show your skills, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Had to learn on the fly. Kind of rough, but hey.
So how about those award shows, man? Be honest. I didn't listen with the sound on because in my drunken state it was a bit too hard to concentrate, but I did see the only one I missed was MVP, but I figured that'd just be a wrap up anyway, to be honest.
Yeah, it was McChesney. I mean, it had to be.
Yeah, I think the percentages were fairly lopsided in that one, weren't they?
Yeah. It's kind of funny. Yeah, I get why they do it, but part of me is like, if you're the MVP, you ought to be able. I mean, if by some fluke of nature we ever have a defensive MVP, then heck yeah, I'm all for it. But if you're the offensive player of the year and the MVP, I don't have a problem with it. But this is a way for one more person to get it, to get an award. That's fine. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have a problem with it. It can be a way to kind of acknowledge that in this case, Tom Pepper did have a hell of a season and was deserving of recognition for it, even if he wasn't the MVP. Okay, offensive player of the year. So, you know, boom, there you go. But
I actually thought the offensive player of the year was more of an interesting one anyway. Like it was a much tighter vote.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, obviously we could talk about who we voted for. I mean, I think I voted for Ron Cochrane.
Big argument for that.
Oh no. I did not vote for. I voted for Phoenix Jones.
Oh well. Also an argument for that.
I just thought, to be honest, I thought the quarterback numbers were down across the board. So I just thought that, you know, if these QBs were getting low 90s in the QBR max. I mean, Tom Pepper's got offensive player of the year, but he threw way more interceptions than he did touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Go figure, you know. I mean, I know that defenses have improved and it's harder and you have to kind of weight it or make it all relative. But I just think that, I mean, Phoenix Jones scored 20 touchdowns,
mm-hmm.
which is more than a lot of quarterbacks did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a big deal. No, I'm with you. And I also, you touched on it, defenses, we have to kind of adjust our scale, if you will, for quarterbacks. But if they're underwater on their touchdown to interception ratio, I can't help it. I they don't get my vote. And that's a rough thing to say, because like I said, Tom had a great season. In this league, with the rules that we have, Tom had a fantastic season, but I can't get over that more interceptions and touchdowns. It's a struggle.
Yeah. And I think there's just something about looking at like the way that, like, you know, a massive yardage and things like that. But just with Phoenix, and I think I made this point on the Axis show where he was a dark horse,
mm-hmm.
That he he did the most important thing on offense, which is score touchdowns, and that's what he did.
Yeah, he did.
He scored 20 touchdowns.
And how many yards did he have? Do you have that off the top of your head?
Not off the top of my head, but I think he had over 1,000, so it's not like he had none.
Yeah.
So I think I can just double check for you now. Wait there a second. I'm pretty sure he had over 1,000 yards though. And this is in Mexico. So, yeah. This is a Mexico City team as well, which passed the ball a lot as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Matt Wilson had nearly, you know, 3,731 yards. Yeah. He's passed to 23 touchdowns himself.
Mm-hmm.
So I can hear a cat.
Yes, there's a rather bossy little thing that comes in here and expects me to give her scratches. So she's very cute. I'll give her that. She is very cute.
Yeah, Phoenix Jones had just over 1,000 yards, 4.6 yards per carry, which isn't too bad. That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Probably top 10 in the league. And then, mm-hmm. 19 rushing touchdowns and one receiving touchdown. I mean, yeah,
that's a pretty good season.
I'd be okay with that being offensive player of the year. I think McChesney deserved to be the runaway for the MVP, although I would have liked to have seen a defensive player at least be in the voting.
Yeah. There were a couple of very compelling... I don't want to take anything away from Bob Funk, because I think he did deserve to be in there. His tackles were fairly low, but you play in that deep safety position, you better not be getting a lot of tackles anyway. There were some good defensive performances this year, and we didn't see them in the conversation. Okay, if you hear a loud thump, it's because the cat gets caught up in the microphone cord. Stop it, would you?
Would a cat be a cat if it wasn't trying to be disruptive at every moment? You know what I mean?
She's more demanding than my ex-wife.
This is coming from a major cat lover, by the way.
Yeah, so am I. But yeah, I'm like, hey, you. I was married for 10 years. You don't need to boss me around like that.
And the cat just says, so do you, coach.
Yep.
Do what I want. Defensive player of the season. That went to, who won that? That was a close one. It was a really close
Mark Mellow.
Yeah, Mark Mellow.
He had a monster season. No argument with it.
15
sacks. There were others that had very good seasons. I get them. I like them being in the conversation, but Mark Mellow, man, what a season.
To be fair, I don't even think it's the sacks. I mean, I know it was joint top sacks with Derwin Nuevo, who also had a great season for Portland.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But is the fact that he also had 31 tackles for loss, which means against the run, he was also proven to be very effective. When I'm pretty sure the tackles for loss was the most in the league, which it was by quite some distance, by 7.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, fantastic season for Mark. I've got no problem with that.
I'm very happy with. I think there was a couple of players who could have been, I guess we'll go on to the snubs article a little bit later that I wrote. But there were a couple of defensive players who I think could have made the cut but didn't. But like I say, we'll move on to them later on. The offensive rookie of the season, that ended up being... Well, I voted for Ezekiel Love in that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure he won.
Yes, I believe he did. And I thought that was a... I know there are some other good seasons in there. There always is. There's always an argument for someone else, but Zeke just had such a. I mean, he. I thought Zeke made a case to be in the MVP or Offensive Player of the Year conversation, just to be kind of nipping at their heels and be in there. And so when he's doing that, he's got to be rookie. You know, he's got to be there rookie of the year. But Kevin Say had a good season. Cam Curtis had a good rookie season as a quarterback. There are some arguments. My own, not anymore, but my own rookie, Deuce Finnick, had a nice season for a rookie receiver.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any of them measured up to Zeke's season, first season as a running back, and that was a lights out signing by Portland.
Yeah, I mean, this is part of the reason why Portland is so well fancied to mm-hmm. get their teeth into the division next season, isn't it? You know what mm-hmm. I mean? It wasn't by much, though, to be fair. I'm just looking at the results now, and Zeke got 36.7%. Cam Curtis got 36.1%.
Mm-hmm.
So I imagine that's probably one vote in it, which is which is pretty insane. Okay, defensive rookie results. You had Devin King, Josh Farnsey, Dan Tritt, and Ralgar Law. I'm pretty sure I voted for Dan Tritt. I quite or Farnsey. I think he was one of the two. Mm-hmm. I've liked Tritt all season, and then Farnsey is kind of an all round player. And being a linebacker, I always favor the linebackers, really.
Yeah, Farnsey had a nice season. He had a really nice season. And I think that's who I voted for. Call it linebacker bias, if you will. That's fine. I think Farnsey is who I actually voted for. Tritt, to me, at the beginning, was the runaway candidate, but he sort of tailed off as the season progressed.
Yeah, I agree.
So,
and I suppose if you're going to be good, it's better being good down the stretch than it is right at the start.
Mm-hmm.
Just in terms of being fresh in people's minds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. that's the thing. They forget about you if they don't hear about you, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And obviously, Ralgar Law, again, you know, can't complain about the winner.
No.
Had a good, great season locking down receivers in Houston. And again, very close. They've won by about 0.4% or something, which just shows how close it was. Special teams, we had Amanda Moyer. I don't know. Moyer. Yeah. I think it's the fact that I'm so close to France.
I'm all right with Moyer.
Kramer Jackman, Ethan Sneed, and my very own Doug Britton.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all knew who was going to win this.
Yeah, I think so, but that's one of those things. I don't know.
I was really happy to see Doug get 23.7% of the vote, though.
I thought, Doug had a fantastic season there. And he's who I voted for. And you can call it homerism, favoritism. Again, I don't care. I voted for Doug. But
No one can really call it favoritism when, you know, the idea is you vote for your favorite. So, you know, that's the whole point of it.
Yeah.
It's all about favoritism.
It really is.
But I mean, Kramer, you know, the best kicker the SFL's ever had. It's an emotional vote as well because he was his last kick, won the championship game.
Right.
Yeah, you know, you've kind of... Obviously, I voted for Doug, but, you know, you can see why. Oh, yeah, you can see why Kramer won that one. Next, I think we move on to the kind of the coaching... like the moment, I think we'll move. I don't know if I want to say about the moment of the year. I guess I think moment of the year was the Lacey moment, wasn't it? Which was nice. I can't really, to be honest, I'm not being disrespectful. I can't really remember it. Did they play in special uniforms?
We did. We had uniforms that were like Evans High School uniforms.
Yeah,
and he was wearing number 4, was wearing his number, and it was. And there was a little video as well. And
I think anything like that kind of touches a chord with people, doesn't it? You know, it kind of you know, we've all, you know, you're not really human if you've not experienced, like, you know, loss and things like that, and
right,
you know, you can't identify with it in some way. So that was it's nice to see that get moment of the year. Game of the year was obviously going to be the championship game.
If you take that out of the equation, there's some really good games, but on the big stage, that much at stake, that kind of game and a last second walk off win, it's a no brainer to me.
I mean, the fact that people were saying that it's possibly the best game. Or the best championship game that the league's ever seen. Mm-hmm. Kind of, it would be a bit ridiculous if we didn't win.
Yep, right.
Game of the year. Eddie Gage won owner of the year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know how all of that's decided, honestly. That's another one of those emotional votes, I think, for people. But Eddie, I mean, is there anybody that loves their players more than Eddie does? I mean, he's just... Mm.
Yeah, I think... yeah, I think it was for me, I had to kind of get out the mind frame of thinking about who was the best team. Because just because someone's got the best team doesn't necessarily mean that, or the most successful team doesn't necessarily mean that they've got the best owner. Yeah. You know, being an owner obviously encompasses so many more things than just on the field coaching, and you know, there's so much more that goes into it. So, I mean, I think he's a deserved winner. I think he is.
Well, and you know, every season he's had his team, he's had very low turnover, no matter what the results were for their season. Mm-hmm. And that tells you something. That always tells you something right there. When people want to stay, when the wins aren't always there, they had a good season this year, but last year was a struggle. Season before was a struggle, and yet most of the team stayed. That's Eddie. That's the climate that he's building, the culture that he's built there. You know, I have no problem with that vote.
Mm-hmm. And then front office of the year and coaching staff of the year was won by the Fort Worth Toros.
Yeah.
They got a clean sweep in that sense.
Yeah. They put in a lot of work. I know Robert Garrett Jr. more than I know Hacker and Nacho, although he's not going by Nacho anymore because he's retired as player.
Luis?
Yeah, Luis. Yeah. Certainly, I think probably a big part of that is a reflection on their, and I'm using air quotes, turnaround from being not a playoff team last year to winning the division. But they were a good team last year. I've said this more than once. People kind of ignore the fact or overlook the fact that they had the number one defense last year.
They knocked off some teams.
It was just a matter of putting a few things, having a few things in place, mm-hmm. and you knew they were going to be solid. That's not to take anything away from them winning the award, but
It was nice to see Vegas nominated for both of them as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was nice. I did appreciate being part of Vegas' front office. I appreciated the nomination. Mm-hmm. I think we came third, which, you know, again, much appreciate everyone who voted. Thank you.
Who was second in that voting?
I think it was very tight between us and LA.
Oh, okay.
Us and LA were tight in that voting. There was Fort Worth, Los Angeles, and then Vegas.
I got
the three most. And then I don't remember them saying who came second and third in the coaching voting, but
I know
Fort Worth were both of them. But yeah, it was great. It's a great sign for us that we were nominated for two awards that last season we were kind of nowhere near. It's testament to the progression that we've made over in the desert. And then go on.
Getting an award like that is almost the culmination of two seasons, isn't it? Right? Because because they look at it and like, okay, last season you did this, you held on to your people, you made this progress. So now we're going to reward you two seasons after you started the work to get that done, right?
Well, I'm coming for that award next season. I'm coming for it. Don't care about the coaching. Front loss of the year. Boom. Community ambassador Dave and Ashley shared it. No slice of the pie for. I actually voted for Ross Napoli. I wrote Ross Napoli down for this.
Oh, did you? For Swamp Talk and the stuff he does?
Well, the Swamp Talk, and I feel like every time I speak to Ross Napoli, he talks about somebody who is his friend. And it's always a different name.
He is so plugged in, isn't he? I mean,
I don't know where he finds the time.
I know. It's amazing.
How does he keep his face, hair, and beard on point and keep that grooming process that must go in? yeah. keep that role, and then have a job, and then also be basically friends with 2/3 of the league on yeah. a regular basis.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I mean, I'm a GM, and I'm you know I know he's a GM as well, but you know I'm supposed to be talking to people, and I don't talk to anywhere near as many people as he does.
Yeah,
to me that's part of being a community ambassador, so that's why I vote for him. But Dave and Ash, you've got to give your hat, tip your hat to them.
Yeah,
they put a lot of work into their shows. And
I voted for you, but that was pretty obvious after I started the campaign for
you.
Oh
yeah, so. You know, it'd be interesting to see how many or how few votes actually came forward for me.
I question Probably. How much pull I actually have in the league, so I don't know how many I got to your side.
Well, put it this way: we do our own Vegas awards
uh-huh.
at the end of each season, and I do all them, and I kind of collate the results, and we have a Vegas team ambassador, mm-hmm. and I wasn't even close to winning that, so there's no way I'm winning community ambassador.
This is why I'm not a betting man, because clearly I pick horses that don't win the race.
You pick the horse that falls at the first hurdle, man. The horse that would rather.
I stand by my nomination. I stand by my nomination. Everybody else is wrong.
I do too. I stand by your nomination as well. I should have voted for myself. So that could have got given me two nominations.
There you go.
You
would have known where they were coming from.
I know.
Hey, I got two votes. Well,
right. And then what was exciting, which I always like, is the All-Star Game rosters.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what we're gonna do, Coach. We're gonna rifle through them.
Okay.
And very quickly, and then I don't know if we want to talk about just who maybe have the better team.
Oh, okay. I can do that.
So you have to listen very carefully.
I can make some snap judgments and...
Yeah, you snap away.
There we go. Okay.
So, East All-Stars. You've got two quarterbacks, Ron Cochran and Christian Christensen.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Registrator Kevin Say, Ivory Irvin, Buchanan Simons, Ken Gossett, Gabriel Manning, and Eagle Mondavi, and then Bill Cherry as the fullback. Anything that like stands out from that? Obviously, they're all standout players, but
yeah, I love that Kevin Say got made it. A big fan of Kevin Say.
Yeah. I love that.
He had a good season, so I love that. Registrator, huge weapon, as we all know. I think probably one of the most dangerous weapons in the league. That's a big deal for them. Other than that, you know, there are some people left off, I'm sure, that deserved it, but I can't say who I would drop in place of them. So,
yeah, I think Gabriel Manning is dangerous. Gabriel Manning and Eagle Mondavi next to each other.
Right.
That's a fairly dangerous pairing. Then on the offensive line, you've got Butch Menor, Greg McDonaldson, Michael Potter, Leonard Butler Sr., and Joseph Wade. Mm-hmm. You've got Jamal Wooding, Phil Koss as the tight ends. I think that's a great pairing.
That is a great pairing, yeah.
Yeah. Defensive line, Chris Andrews, Al Walker, William Davidson, Phil Hall, and David Tilley.
Hmm.
Phil Hall, I didn't realize Phil Hall had such a good season. Old campaign, have been in the league longer than me.
Hmm.
Then linebackers, Jack Brown, Aquantis Shine, Jay Mart, Espen Real, and Rodney Pernani. It's nice to see Jay Mart as a young guy in there with the older campaigners.
Look, I remember looking at his stats and thinking there's a couple of guys that I thought deserved a spot over him, but it's mm-hmm. not to say that he didn't have a nice season. I thought Blake Craze, for example, deserved a nomination.
Oh yeah, every season
he's a consistent yeah. performer. But sometimes that ends up being, you know, that almost works against you when you're consistent like that. Like, oh well, yeah, Blake Craze, he's you know, a million tackles every season. What else is new? Moving on, you know. So that's probably part of what happened with that. But that's a pretty stout defense. Look, pretty good looking defense.
Mm-hmm. And then corner, there's only three. Tough to get into corner. Mm-hmm. Tanner Hendricks, Davidson Joseph, and Ryan Davidson. Must be something about the name Davidson in the East. safeties look good. Tank Bennett and Troy Loshaw. Succo Lomano, who's got the most interceptions in the league. Moose Papineau and Giovanni Bolt. That is a great safety group.
Yeah, it is. That's a really good group.
Good luck to the quarterbacks of the West. And then Amanda Moyer and then Marcus Agrippa as the kicker and punter.
Mm.
Good team. I mean, obviously it's going to be a good team, but I think there's some kind of under the radar names, I think, on that team.
Yeah.
Names that aren't, you know, your names that aren't necessarily the most popular within the league in terms of everyone mentioning them as the best players, but you know, it's great to see them on the All-Stars roster and, you know, a good confidence boost for them, especially the younger players.
Yeah. Oh, it's fun. I mean, tooting my own horn here, making the All-Star game my rookie season, completely unexpected. It's pretty fun. It's a hoot to have that happen and to have it so young in your career. So for like J. Mart, for example, for Kevin, it's fantastic.
Okay, the West. So quarterbacks, Tom Pepper and Ace Fenech. I think Josh Miller's unlucky, to be honest. He was one of my snubs on the snub article. Again, a victim of probably being...
sustained excellence, yeah.
Shadowed by Jared McChesney. Running backs, Jared McChesney and Robert Redford.
That's a
Jesus
thunder and lightning, baby.
I think we know that they may be running. They might be running the ball. They might be running the ball. Fullback R. Emails, who blocks for Jared McChesney. Doesn't really get any easier. Wide receivers, Donnie Hands, John Blades, D.R. Sim, K.L. Barrett, Stephen Hacker. Ouch. Mm-hmm. Doug Britton as receiver, as kick returner, sorry. Tight ends, Robert Garrett Jr. and Jack Flash. Jack Flash? Wow. Maybe the low key name that we've got on here. He's a LA, right? Is he LA?
Yep. Threw me off for a minute, though. I was like, Jack Flash? Oh, yeah, LA, because he's been Carolina.
That is a ridiculous offense. I feel like there's bigger names, more kind of like household names on the West than the East.
Mm-hmm.
Probably as well if they're going up against that safety group. Mike Newtones, EJ DeCue, absolute veteran of the league, D'Amico.
Uh-oh, froze up on me.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Are we back?
Yes, sir.
Are we back?
Yes, sir. Good. You were going through the offensive line. You were going through the offensive line.
Yes. Mike Newtones, EJ DeCue, D'Amico Ryans, who I said had just become a free agent. Recently, this today, I think.
Oh, wow.
Gene Benazzi and Ryan Cordill. Then you've got defensive ends, Mark Mello and Derwin Nuevo, the two top sack leaders, both on the same team.
Wow.
Then you've got Des Troyer, you know, because as though it could get any worse. Dan Tritz and Catherine Harrell. Catherine Harrell, it's worth noting, didn't have that many sacks, but had the second most tackles for loss in the league, so against the run.
Yeah, she was tough.
Mm-hmm. Tough, yeah, very tough. Linebackers, Buddy Blaze, Slim Shady, Josh Farnsey, Mel Davis, and BJ Lovelace. One interesting member of that group is BJ Lovelace, who had no tackles for loss, but 21 pass deflections.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Eddie used him in coverage a lot more, had him dropping.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Buddy Blaze very all-round. Oh, God, yeah. Mm-hmm. Buddy Blaze is all-round. Myself, just an absolute legend of the game. Josh Farnsey, young, fit, hungry. Mel Davis, again, elite. The leader of that Portland defense. And then BJ Lovelace. Cornerbacks, Ralgar Law, Iverson Gamble, who had that ridiculous start to the season where he got about 4 returns for a touchdown.
Yes. Yeah, boy, he had a crazy start.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, yeah.
And Adam Leach as well, another rookie. The young cornerback group, that is.
Yeah, it is.
For the West. Adam Leach from Fort Worth, I think.
I believe so, yeah. Yeah.
And then safeties. Let's see if the West safeties are quite as good. Max Jackson starting off pretty strong there. Shaud Allen, who's been, I think, underrated over the last 2 seasons. Mm-hmm. Major Key and Bob Funk, who I've been campaigning to be in the Defensive Player of the Season race, but alas, wasn't.
Yeah, you had him in your snubs.
He makes the All-Star team.
Yeah, you had him in your snubs article, right? Bob Funk.
I did. I had him. I had him. Max Jackson. Jeff Banfield. Barnfield. Jeff Banfield.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Who I accidentally called John Barnfield in the article, and I had
you had Josh Miller,
Robert Redford, and Josh Miller. Yeah. There was a list of about 10, but I had to narrow it down to 5. There was quite a large list. I think Charlie Bully Beletsky was one of them as well initially,
mm-hmm.
and then I chose Jeff Barnfield instead. Jeff Banfield. Oh, I'm so sorry, Jeff. I keep getting your name wrong. And then Kramer Jackman and Dusty McCrack as the special teams.
Oh, yeah.
Could you pick a winner about all that? Could you pick a winner from all that?
I'd have to see who's calling the plays, but looking at the roster, you know, there's something I like. I do like the 1-2 punch of McChesney and Robert Redford. You got your thunder and lightning there. Both Kevin and Reggie, as great as they are, same kind of running back. With McChesney and Redford, you're going to have 2 different styles. That's going to be really interesting to watch. I wonder if the young corners are going to be vulnerable. I mean, they've got good builds, or they wouldn't be there, but, you've got some established, longtime players with some great builds playing those positions on the other side. They mm-hmm. may struggle to throw the ball a little bit. The West may struggle to throw the ball, but I think the West is well equipped to deal with what the East does on offense. So you've got the top 2, as you mentioned, the top 2 sackers in the league this season. That's going to be a tough line to
guess. Yes. I think it's going to be close. I think the West may turn the ball over a bit. Mm-hmm. I know Ace is fairly safe, but Pepper does like to sling it around. So
mm-hmm.
Expect a couple, especially with that safety group. Expect a couple of turnovers. But then,
you've got Donnie Hands, John Blades, mm-hmm.
the only 2 receivers in the league who got double-digit touchdowns this season. I'm on the West team, so I'm going to predict the West will win if we just went off rosters. But it's going to be close. I think the East have got maybe slightly less firepower overall.
Mm-hmm.
and maybe a few less what I would call classic big name players. Mm-hmm. But I think they will give each other a great game, and I think the West will just squeak it out.
Yeah, it looks to me, a quick glance on the surface, like the West has more of the just a couple more, but they have more of the guys that can score in one play. And we've seen these All-Star games be so tight, so close, that one extra touchdown, one extra score could be a big deal. So, yeah.
Yeah. Interesting to see if Kramer Chapman decides to kick the winning field goal in this game as well. Seemingly that's all he does.
Yeah. That'd almost be unfair, but hey, he's a good guy. He can have it.
Right, Coach, before I leave to go to sleep.
Yeah.
As it is. It's not too fair for me. It's fairly early. But for, you know, the conventional people of the world, it's rather late. And it's warm today in the UK. It might not be hot by your standards, but when you've got no air conditioning, it's clammy. I'll put it that way.
If I didn't have air conditioning right now, I might be I'd be very grumpy because it's like 90 degrees. It's muggy as heck.
I do have a slight film of sweat on my forehead right now, which is probably a good reason why we don't do this as a video show.
I could do something in post-production about that shine. I'm kidding. There's no shine. But
yeah, a bit of makeup on. But yeah, so the snubs article, the honours, the snubs for the honours. Let me just try and find it. I presume, by the way, that that people know, well, the designers of the new website know that the news tab is slight. You can only see the S ever so slightly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's slight. It is behind the badge.
Needs a little adjustment.
Do you know what I mean? It needs a bit of TLC, I think. A bit of TLC. Can I just say that thanks to Axel Raven for the graphic for the Snubs article again. It made me laugh. little sad face saying never mind, it was just an honor just to be nominated, you know.
Yeah.
That's
pretty good.
Crossed out. Okay, so Josh Miller then. I thought he, again, I've said in the article that he was a victim of being McChesney's teammate.
Oh yeah.
I think his QBR was second in the SFL. He threw for a lot less yards than people like Tom Pepper, but his touchdown to interception ratio was healthy.
Mm-hmm.
His yards per attempt were healthy. He just had to throw less
because that's a big
McChesney
one
was such a workhorse.
Yeah, but that yard per attempt, to me, that's almost a trump card on him not throwing as much. It tells you that when he did, he threw for average and he was effective. But and you're right. You're absolutely right. He's on the wrong team if he wants to be a star, because McChesney's just soaking up the limelight over there. Understandable.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is, you know, he's got a set of receivers who are very good as a group, but like there's no real one elite receiver who's going to set the league alight.
Mm-hmm.
But then when McChesney was stopped a couple of times this season, when we played Denver the last game of the season and we kind of managed to stifle McChesney a little bit, Miller took over. Miller won that game.
Mm-hmm.
Miller, in big moments in the court, in the playoffs, really, really kind of showed his mettle. So, I think it would have been nice to see him at least one of the nominations anyway.
Mm-hmm.
As well as Robert Redford, who, you don't often score 16 touchdowns in a season over nearly 6 yards per carry, nearly 1,400 yards, and not even get into a nomination.
Wasn't even mentioned, yeah.
No mention. Literally nothing. had more chance of winning an Oscar.
Yes.
Dear me.
You know there are people that aren't catching on to that. They're like, yeah, Robert Redford, what? Because what's he done?
But, right. To be fair, the people who are American who aren't catching on to that, you should be ashamed because I'm British and shouldn't know who he is at all.
They really should. Well, and he was in an Avengers movie. I guess everybody saw those, so come on. It looked freakishly plastic in that movie, but whatever.
I don't know where I remember him from. I just know he's just got one of those names that you just remember.
Yeah.
Anyway, so back to the SFL Robert Redford, or R squared, as I might start calling him. when Pepper was a bit off, Redford was such a big play running back. I feel like he isn't someone who's just going to truck it for 4 or 5 yards each time.
No,
it's kind of not quite all or nothing, because I think he rarely gives you nothing, but it's you know, if he is on top form, he is probably the scariest running back in the league. I think when he's on his top form at one moment,
right,
in one game, he can be the scariest one. And I think, again, looking at the yards he made, that kind of warranted him being on that list. One thing that will have gone against him is fumbles. He did fumble the ball a bit.
Oh, yeah.
So that was kind of the main thing that I thought might be the sort of clinching factor in why he didn't make it comparatively to McChesney and Phoenix Jones, who I voted for, who didn't fumble once. Neither of them fumbled once the whole season. So, I'm wondering if that was a contributing factor.
It could have been. And honestly, it probably should have been. I think not fumbling is noteworthy. So, but yeah, Redford's one of those, every time he gets the ball, you hold your breath because you expect something to happen, and something so often does. He is that good.
And then I think the two that I would have pushed for hardest and that were probably, you know, in my mind, should have been dead certs with Bob Funk and Max Jackson. Now, I figured Bob Funk straight away, like, you know, his numbers just sort of stood out to me. And, you know, he got 12 pass deflections, 12 interceptions. That's 24 passes this season that he's infected in a positive way for his team. And I'm pretty sure that was like second or third in the league amongst all defensive players. And I know his tackles were lower than some players. I know he didn't get a defensive touchdown, but what's his job as a free safety? You know what I mean? He's the last line of defense. So clearly, in that particular job, he's been elite for me.
Well, that Portland defense was really good. You had Mel Davis. You had Gary Clem. Getting a lot of tackles, soaking up all of that. The tackles weren't there for Bob. It wasn't going to happen. So, I think your point there is relevant. It was a heck of a season for him, and he was doing his job.
On a great defense as well. And then Max Jackson was one that didn't stand out to me. And I went in to write this article, he didn't even cross my mind. And then I just looked at the numbers. Okay, so he made over 100 tackles, 5 for a loss, forced 2 fumbles, recovered 1. He 10 interceptions, 17 pass deflections. So he had a positive impact on 27 passes, which is the best by quite a bit of a distance. I've wrote the next closest is Bob Funk, who was on 24.
Okay.
And as much as he only picked off the QB 10 times compared to maybe 13 or 12 for people like Loshaw and Sucker Lomano, just looking at the all-round you know, strong safety, should be good against the run, fearsome against the run, but also good in pass coverage. Just looking at the all-round effects, it was just all over the field. Mm-hmm. And to me, that warrants a nomination.
Yeah.
And I know people are going to say, yes, you're a Vegas player. Of course you're going to say that. But this isn't coming from a place of that. This is coming from just looking at the numbers and thinking, wow.
I think the numbers warrant, again, being part of the conversation, because that's a heck of a season for a safety.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the run defense numbers are pretty good, but the fact that 27 passes he either picked off or deflected, mm-hmm. Is, and the fact that that's the most in the league, then, because, mm-hmm. you know, like, so someone like, you know, Succo or Loshaw, I think Troy Loshaw, who had a great season against the run as well, got 12 interceptions, fair enough, got an interception touchdown, which, mm-hmm. again, fair enough. But I think he only got like 4 pass deflections. So in reality, he affected 16 or 17 passes, which is 10 less than Max Jackson did. So if you look at it in that particular way, and I know that's in a microscopic way of looking at it, but in those ways, there's no contest, really.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and I think that's the kind of I like seeing that kind of deeper dive into these decisions. You know, I like, mm-hmm. to see that money ball type of look at it.
Yeah. So rather than just like thinking, right, they got corner safeties, click the interception bar, right? Okay, they're at the top. They get the nod.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
they get the flashy ones. You can have a guy that has a lot of interceptions. And we don't track this, but maybe he got burned a lot too. You know, it just happened. Yeah. They were thrown
yeah.
on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. When London back in the day, we didn't have any star corners. Those corners made interceptions. Those non-contract corners made at least 5 or 6 interceptions. Thinking, wow, non-contract corners, this would be great. Mm. But the amount of times that they got beat almost wasn't worth the interceptions.
Yeah.
And then last one on my list was Jeff Banfield, who had a great season at receiver for DC.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Was he Mr. Irrelevant? I think he was.
Was he?
I think so.
Oh, that makes it even better.
Because he is a San Jose guy, and we were chatting. Yes. We were chatting during the draft. And he said, oh, hang on, I've got a DM from whatever. I'm getting a call or a DM from DC. And I was like, really? And then he comes back, lol. And name pops up. I was like, okay. You know, we were talking about next season already. We were talking about.
Yeah. You know. And here he is. And he was the best receiver.
Mm-hmm. He was good.
He was their best receiver, and his numbers were comparable in a lot of ways to Deuce Fenix.
Yeah.
He just had fewer touchdowns. He only had 4 touchdowns, which is what I think held it back in the end.
Right.
But I mean, 66 catches, 879 yards, over 13 yards per reception, which was the best of all rookies. Receivers. Mm. It wasn't. Deuce Fenix was slightly better, but either way, it was very close.
Okay.
I think he was just, he was a snub for me because he was so comparable to Fenix. He was just maybe a hair's breadth behind in a couple of areas.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like, you know, he was someone who, you know, deserved a nomination, even though.
Yeah.
I don't think he would have won the award, but you know, right. That's not the point of the article at the end.
Right. Well, and the nice thing about this, about us talking about it in the article, is they at least deserve to be, as I always say, in the conversation, and we're having a conversation about them. So
Yeah.
I enjoy that. I think you're right. I think probably the touchdowns, not getting a lot of the touchdowns, probably what held it back. But and it's hard to argue with that. It, you know, I could say, oh, touchdowns, all about the touchdowns. Well, touchdowns are kind of important, so okay.
Yeah, if you want to win, if you want to win, if you want to win. I mean, if you want to get a ton of yards and get no touchdowns, then great, but it's not going to help your team on the scoreboard.
I remember a certain Vegas game where all you were doing was scoring field goals, and you ended up losing the game. So was that 2 years ago against Sioux Falls?
Yes. Yeah, we were in the red zone about six times.
Oh yeah.
And it was good night for Otis, Boudreaux, but other than that.
Yeah.
I think he had a record night. It's true. I mean, that's one of the main differences between this season and last season for us was the fact that when we were in the red zone, we were a lot more ruthless.
Mm-hmm.
We'd put teams to the sword, whereas season 15, we were letting them off the hook.
Yeah, it's important.
But yeah, I think on the whole, though, with the honest show, I think mostly it was right. You know, like I think the people that won the awards definitely deserve to win them.
There wasn't anybody that's like, oh, come on, that's ridiculous. You know, nothing like that. So, and I don't remember. There's always a debate. There's always people that are upset. I heard about one teammate of one of the people that didn't get something. He kind of went off in Gen Chat a little bit, and his team had to reel him in. People are always going to argue about those things, and they're going to feel passionate about their guys.
We're not going to name names.
There's no need. Everybody that saw it knows who it is. Hey, he's passionate about his team. All right, that's fine. I'll chalk it up to that. I don't think you can convincingly say any of these people didn't deserve to be in the conversation and be nominated and to win, even.
Mm-hmm.
You could say you thought somebody else might have been maybe slightly more deserving, although I can't think of any. I would have liked Doug.
I suppose this. Yeah.
But
yeah.
I get it. I understand why it went that way. So.
Yeah. Yeah, like the winners, I didn't necessarily vote for all the winners myself, but I mean, again, that's why I have a vote, isn't it? You know, that democratic process.
Yep.
And you know what? I like being someone who thinks differently than most people.
Agreed.
So if I vote for you, you probably won't win. If you see my vote come in, then just think, I ain't winning this award. Sorry.
Well, do me a favor. If I'm up for something, don't vote for me then.
Same goes to you, community ambassador. Everyone was like, "Oh, coaches vote for Slynn." Then you know that's that. We won't vote. Well, I'm sure someone else will.
Yeah, I'll have my own awards. Ha.
Oh yeah, that's the Ramblers. The Ramblies. The Rambles, I don't know.
I like Ramblies.
Is every show...
Because it's not a word.
Is every show going to have its own award system now? Is that what it's going to be? Is it going to descend to half the league getting an award?
Honestly, if I do that and be like, hey, congratulations, you're the first annual Ramblee, people are going to be like, okay, thanks.
People are going to put it in the Discord name. Wear it with pride. Badge of honor.
We'll get a little emoji, a Ramblees emoji.
Yeah, just some like, I don't know, some little man walking up a hill. That's rambling, isn't it?
Yes.
Someone, a face with a mouth that just won't stop talking.
Also, that would be appropriate as well.
Right.
All right. Well, you made me hungry talking about your dinner before we got on the mic. So I'm gonna have to do something about that.
I'm gonna sleep the that kind of sleep where you eat yourself tired.
Yes.
where it's a deep set sleep because your body can't dream because it's digesting stuff. Can't do two things at once.
Feels so good to lay down and stretch out and just be gone.
Yeah. Never has been so appropriate.
All right. Well, on that bombshell, good having you on, man. And we will be, hopefully, we should have re-signings at least to talk about next week. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, I hope so. Hopefully some of those will be Vegas's as well.
Yes. Cam, if you're listening, make sure it happens, please.
Mr. Irvine.
We're begging. Want to get those signings done. And with that, we're going to end the show for today. Thank you for joining us. Good luck and God bless, my friends.
See you later, guys.